I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Good morning to you. Happy Friday. Thank you so much for joining us. It's good to have you on board. It's a lot going on in sports, per the usual, even though there aren't live events, which, of course, I would much prefer. There's plenty of newsmakers who are out there talking and considering the options and looking down the road, and we're reacting to that. And then we've, of course, got this fight in Major League Baseball. Who was it that said earlier in the week that it could be? Oh, it was Jim Bowden on CBS Sports HQ, who had said that by Friday, by the end of the week or by the weekend, there would be some type of an agreement in place. Well, it seems like the two sides are dug in, the owners versus the Players Association. Agent Scott Boras, who represents roughly 70 players in Major League Baseball, and who now represents Blake Snell. Shocker. He's telling his clients in an email that the Associated Press found not to give in, not to give an inch, not to compromise, because games cannot be played without you. That's what Scott Boras wrote to his clients. Players should not agree to further pay cuts to bail out the owners. So if his clients toe the line and are still as firm as a brick wall, and the owners aren't willing to back down, which usually they're fairly united as well, well, then this stalemate seems like it could continue until the deadlines force desperation. And I don't even know if that'll work. But we've seen unions versus owners before in various sports, and baseball has avoided any type of work stoppage. Now, this is not of their own doing, but baseball has avoided a work stoppage of their own doing because of a labor fight for years now, because the last one was so detrimental. So until they tell us that they're not going to play, I'm hoping and believing that these deadlines, coming up against these deadlines, will force them to find common ground. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We've been talking a little bit more on this edition of the show about the economy of sports, because, and I have talked about it during the springtime, but it's not just about playing a game or grown men getting paid to play a kid's game. It's not that simple. It's entertainment for us, and of course they enjoy what they do, but it's also about the stimulation to the economy wherever the stadiums are located, wherever the teams and the franchises operate. It's about the hotels. It's about the restaurants that can benefit. It's about scouts and front office executives and game day workers and grounds crews and everybody else who's income is tied to, whose jobs are tied to, the operation of a particular franchise in a particular league. And if you need an example of that, think about minor league baseball and what's happening. While there's been no official cancellation of the season, that's the expectation. And so we're seeing hundreds of minor league baseball players getting cut. And while some of that would have happened anyway, simply because it's the nature of the beast, they're trying to get contracts, or they're trying to keep contracts and keep opportunities. We're talking about potentially 1,000 minor league baseball players. And then again, the front office executives and those who work on game days and the scouts and others who are tied to minor league operations. And then you think about how many minor league stadiums are located in smaller cities, right? Not maybe major league cities, but smaller cities, smaller communities where those games and their fun game days represent affordable family entertainment. And you kind of feel the ripple effects of it now. And so it was a dark day for baseball, for minor league baseball. And there were some teams that were likely going to be contracted anyway, because that's really sweeping change that's taking place in the minors. And so it's tough to think about the guys who had been pursuing their dreams and riding buses from city to city and hoping for a call from their parent clubs that now will never come. And they may not get another opportunity because of the climate that we're in 2020. And you contrast that with what's happening at the major league level. And it's yet another white hot harsh spotlight on some of the guys who are getting paid millions and refusing to take a pay cut. And it just in the court of public opinion, it makes them look terrible and selfish. And good morning to you. On that note, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It is a Hall of Flame Friday. So coming up in 15 minutes, you will hear the latest candidates for the After Hours Hall of Flame. It was really important for me to do an induction on this Friday. We haven't done one in months. In fact, I couldn't even remember who the last inductee was. It happened to be Mike Leach. He's in the Hall of Flame more than once.
Stuff like this happens, bro.
Now we've got four candidates, including Earl Thomas, because, you know, stuff like this happens, bro, in his We had so much, fun. I mean, the whole situation was kind of a mess. And his family obviously is going through a bit of a mess, but just his comments on his Instagram post that tried to boil it down and make it sound so normal, because, you know, stuff like this happens, bro. We've also got Blake Snell, Dana White, Peyton Manning. So your choice, who is inducted next into the After Hours Hall of Flame?
And if I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona.
No! Do you know what, Chris? One of our listeners wrote to me on social media and said, you called yourself AIM. Why are you getting mad at Blake Snell for calling the virus the Rona? And, I mean, I didn't feel like I needed to respond, but I did. Just trying to point out that people, even pets, can have nicknames. A deadly virus should not have a nickname.
The phrase six of one, half dozen of another has never been more inappropriate at this time.
So we'll let you hear the candidates for the Hall of Flame. We've got a poll up. If you've already heard them, you know what we're talking about. Just check it out on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also on our Facebook page. It's pinned to the top of our Twitter page and also at the top of our Facebook page. So you are good to go. You can find it oh so easily.
If you want me to get sick on the first hole, I'll do it.
No, we don't. We would have missed out on all that entertainment from the match, too. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. From the world of college sports, I'm on this economic impact tangent right now, because I think the more we hear it as Americans and as sports fans, the more we understand that a lot of those who work in the sports world, whether it's media, whether it's coaches, whether it's officials, whether it's managers, even players, not all of them, but a lot of them are in the same boat that we are, trying to survive during this pandemic and wondering about income and wondering about jobs. And while Ed Orgeron isn't necessarily wondering about his job and certainly isn't worried about where his next meal is coming from, and it's good. I'm glad he's not, because that's a tough place to be in. But he explains how the college football season has such incredible effects on the individual universities and the conferences.
I couldn't imagine. I'm honest with you. The money that we get from the TV contract, the money that we get from the fans in the stadium, fuels everything around here. Everything at our university, all the sports, all the facilities, the best thing that we can give to our football players. And as you know, Baton Rouge on a Saturday is hopping. They're tailgating. The restaurants are full. The hotels are full. The economy is booming. So it would be a big blow to not only our universities, but the economy. I do believe we need football.
Ed Orgeron, coach of the national champion LSU Tigers, and he made an appearance on Fox News and was very specific about the ways that college football spurs the economy, and in many cases it provides a great portion of the budget that the universities operate on, not just the sports and athletic department budget, but the overall budget for the school because of the money that it brings in some of these Power Five schools and Power Five conferences. But I'm not sure if you saw this. In recent days, there are now universities that are cutting sports programs because without the we'll use March Madness as an example. Without the conference basketball tournaments, without March Madness, without seemingly, potentially, the revenue of college football, they can't afford to fund other sports. And that's tragic for the athletes that work so hard. But you have to kind of understand that college football is a big business. Men's basketball is a big business in many cases. But very few other sports are revenue-producing sports. So they are operating on the money that is brought in by football and basketball. Now, in some cases, you have very high-profile programs, say a gymnastics program or a golf program, that might pay for its own budget, that might bring in a little bit of revenue because it has a very solid fan base, so different parts of the country. But for the most part, the rule is basketball and football fund the other athletic department budgetary needs and also fund the other teams. So it's not just about, hey, college football, it's so much fun on game days, and it is, and it's great. But as Coach O points out, there are a lot of other ramifications if college football doesn't take place. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Even as baseball players are trying to take a hardline stance about the money and the pay cuts, and again, we'll see who compromises or if either side compromises. It was good to hear from Ron Gardenhire. He was a guest on SiriusXM MLB Radio, and he's a high-risk candidate for the virus, because of his age, because of his health. He's a guy that you would put in that high risk category. And yet he wants to find a way somehow to be out there when the season starts up.
Give me a walkie talkie and I'll just go on it and have him with ears. I don't care. As long as we do this thing safe, you know, I'm 62 years old. I've had cancer and, you know, I've had blood sugar stuff. So I'm trying. And I don't want to be prime, so we'll have to just take it easy and let the smarter people prevail here, and then I'll do what they ask as best I possibly can.
Got to cooperate, got to follow the protocols, health and safety. That's uber important, not so much for the athletes themselves, but for the others who are at risk. But I love his approach. Just give me a walkie-talkie. I'll figure it out. I got to be part of my team. Ron Gardenhire, the manager of the Detroit Tigers the last couple of years. And even though the number one topic is money, and even though right now that's the buzz around Major League Baseball, and it should be, because it's at times seems so nonsensical and really just nonsense. But there is the safety part of it. And when I did talk to Paul Fry of the Orioles a couple of weeks ago, that's what he said. I asked him priority. And I mean, he pointed out that he didn't make the money that Blake Snell does. And that he's in a completely different financial category. But for him, it wasn't about the money. It was about the safety and having a wife and a young baby at home. And so you can understand why the money is the headline, but baseball's got to be paying attention to the health and safety as well. And Gardenhire believes that the league is doing what it can on that front.
Believe me, they're doing everything possible, and they're going to do everything possible. And they know the number one, you know, people, the top tier people who really have to, you know, be taken care of and guarded because of our age, a lot of the managers and coaches. And they've done it just a super job of letting us know that they're going to do everything they possibly can right. There are no guarantees, but do everything they possibly can to make it right for all of us.
If only that was the most important thing right now. It should be, right? But instead, it's about the money. I had one listener say, I don't know if it was Twitter or Facebook, but say something along the lines of, you know, the NBA and NHL players have already made the bulk of their salaries for the year. And while that's true, they're still losing some money. No one's saying that baseball players are not going to be paid. It's their own choice if they choose not to come back for an 82-game season, or in their proposal, they wanted 100 games. You're going to get paid for the games that you play. So, yes, the NBA and the NHL have been paid because of the timing of it. It has nothing to do with anything that they've done or not done, but they are taking pay cuts. They are losing money. There are teams that are not paying, or there are, you know, they've had a certain number of paychecks that have been guaranteed. But beyond that, they stand to lose money as well based on how much of the season they don't play, or whether or not they finish. In the NFL, I mean, again, it's just about the timing. They hope they have a 16-game regular season, and they would like to do that. But the owners also could absorb a major hit if there are no fans in the stands. Just like every other sport, those owners, the NFL owners, stand to lose 40% of their revenue if they don't have fans allowed at their games. Now, we did see the governor of Texas on Thursday amend his executive order where fairly soon the Lone Star State will allow outdoor sporting events at the professional level to have spectators. Now they're going to limit to 25% capacity, but it's a start. It's a baby step. And state health officials, you know, they have to be involved in it, of course. And indoor events are still without spectators, so that has not changed. The Texas Motor Speedway in Fort Worth is supposed to have an IndyCar race on June 6th, but the track president is saying, no, we're going to go ahead and go without fans because we've already prepared for it. The PGA Tour is supposed to be in Fort Worth coming up on June 11th. That would be its return to its events and its schedule, but they will not have fans attending. Baseball has already said, you know, if we get back in early July, we'll play without fans if we have to. And I don't know how it will work if one state or two states are allowing, you know, the sports to have limited capacity. And then you've got the indoor component, the retractable roof part of it too. And so there's a lot of questions. As always, there are far more questions than there are answers around sports and pretty much everything else in the spring of 2020. Coming up though, some fun, some reasons to laugh, shake your head, roll your eyes, whatevs. It's our latest induction into the After Hours Hall of Fame. We've got four candidates. We want you to hear them, and then you can vote, vote, vote on this Friday morning. We'll reveal your choice before we tag out at the top of the hour. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Talking about practice.
On After Hours, the biggest meltdowns in sports history.
Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
I'm a man. I'm 40.
I want to eat his children.
Are immortalized with an infamous distinction.
Can't do it.
They are who we thought they were.
You play to win the game.
Now it's time for Amy Lawrence to bring you tonight's candidates for the After Hours Hall of Fame.
Put that in your practice, folks.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
He's an idiot.
It's unbelievable what they did!
It was a stroke.
It's the difference between partying and being out of control. Yeah.
It's called maturity. It's your job.
What in the was that?
Like through a tin horn, man.
All I see is that.
No days off. No days off.
Take that for data.
Navy actually stuck her finger up her nose.
The ref really wasn't even listening to nothing that I was saying.
For what? I didn't know.
Why don't you just run it? You know, just that's a really good thought.
I tried to activate my glutes as best I could.
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes.
He's an idiot.
A rude tube.
Listen to that!
Bend over backwards and be honest and direct with you guys, and you stick it right up my and the team. But I'm sick of it.
I'm here, so I won't get fined.
LAPD was called.
If you're not going to punch me in my face when you see me, then shut up.
I apologize to Draymond Green and his mom.
Stop it right now! We will stop this tournament! This is stupid! This is absolutely ridiculous!
Hey! I'm having a press conference, okay? Thank you!
We're still here! We're still here!
Our roster looks great on paper. Whoopty hell. All right?
They're very fiery under the covers.
What kind of mythical powers does a Sun Devil have? We've got to consider that. I'm going to say the Wildcat's out. The Trojan, does he have a horse or is he on foot? Does he have a bow and arrow or just his sword? The Bruin, definitely formidable.
Oh, our latest inductee, Mike Leach. He's a repeat offender or repeat defender, whichever you prefer. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We need you to help us decide who gets into the Hall of Flame next. Without further ado, your four candidates on this Hall of Flame Friday. We begin with Earl Thomas. Got himself into a mess, got caught cheating because of his Snapchat location services. Then his wife went after him with a gun. So much of it was caught on video. The cops were called, all kinds of interesting layers to that. And finally, TMZ got a hold of it. So then Earl felt like he needed to make a statement.
So my agent just hit me and said that I'm going to be on TMZ tomorrow. From an altercation that happened with me and Nina. So just wanted to get ahead of it. And I mean, it's really not anybody's business. It's pissing me off that it got out, but it's the world we live in today. But instead of talking about us, just keep us in y'all prayers. And stuff like this happens, bro. You know, we try to live the best lives we possibly can, but sometimes it don't go as planned. Just pray for us, you know, as we go through this stuff. You know, we're back talking. You know, I'm seeing my kids. So just keep us in your prayer.
Stuff like this happens, bro. You know, maybe the group sex part, the wife showing up with the gun, the Snapchat, the location services, the videos, the cops being called, the pursuit around the car in the driveway. Stuff like this happens, bro. Earl Thomas, that's his Instagram video. I don't think it helped. I actually think it might have hurt. Moving on to Dana White. I love it when Dana White gets asked a question that he takes exception to. And typically when Dana has the opportunity, he wants you to bleep him. This is just how he operates. He gets more attention that way.
There was an article in the New York Times today that was very critical of the execution of
that guy. That guy. You know what happened with that guy? That guy. Who's never covered
ever
the sport ever before was writing a story about Endeavor. And then the UFC was one of the Endeavor, you know.
You know.
And what do you think happened when this guy who in this paper covered the UFC when they'd never covered it before?
Boom!
What do you think happened? The story was huge. They did killer traffic. Now they're writing stories three a week, and they're posting live results. I don't give a what that guy thinks, what he has to say, or what he writes. Good for him. He's pulling good traffic.
Do you not worry about the
I don't give a
fair enough.
Don't give a
fair enough. And the reporter's like, well, I guess I got what I need. Fair enough. In other words, Dana White is saying, you're riding our coattails. I don't give a bleep. Fair enough. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The UFC president may go into the Hall of Fame with the reporter riding his coattails. Peyton Manning was the star of the show during the match. He never fails to deliver when there is a microphone in front of him, and his stories from times that he's hung out with Tiger Woods, with Phil, with Tom Brady, classic stuff. In addition to his repping volunteer colors and volunteer colors only.
You know, Tom and Phil kind of have matching outfits. They wanted, you know, if I want to wear black and red like Tiger, I'm like, I'm not wearing black and red. That's Georgia Bulldog colors. I mean, I just can't do that. I mean, if you want me to get sick on the first hole, I'll do
no,
it.
No,
but,
no.
You know, I'm not going to let Kirby Smart get a picture of me in black and red for their social media account.
That's not something I would have considered. I would have showed up in all the wrong colors, but he didn't want to get sick over Georgia Bulldog colors. I love the rivalries in college and in the SEC. So Peyton Manning from TNT telling yet another story on the match. Also a candidate. I don't know that Peyton is in the Hall of Fame, so it might be time. Finally, I leave you with Blake Snell, who is now a Scott Boras client. I don't think you need to know much more, only that he is dead set on giving up any of his money.
Y'all gotta understand too, because y'all gonna be like, bro, Blake, play for the love of the game, man. What's wrong with you, bro?
Money
should not be a thing. Bro, I'm risking my life.
Bro.
What do you mean it should not be a thing? It 100% should be a thing. If I'm gonna play, I should be getting the money I signed to be getting paid. I should not be getting half of what I'm getting paid because the season's cut in half. On top of a 33% cut of the half that's already there, so I'm really getting like 25%. On top of that, it's getting taxed. So imagine how much I'm actually making to play. You know what saying? Like, I ain't making. And on top of that, so all that money's gone, and now I play risking my life. And what? And if I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona, guess what happens with that? Oh yeah, that's in my body forever. That damage is not going to be like. The damage that was done to my body, that's going to be there forever. Yeah, man, I got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine, okay? And that's just the way it is for me. Like, I'm sorry if you guys think differently, but the risk is way the hell higher and the amount of money I'm making is way lower. Why would I think about doing that?
Hashtag sorry, not sorry. The Rona. If he gets the Rona, he's, of course, risking his life. Oh. I mean, I've heard it so many times that I think I'd have it memorized. Bro, the Rona. And a couple days after that Twitch rant, he fired his agent and connected with Scott Boras.
If I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona.
It's like a match made in heaven. Also, I love that he points to the taxes. We all freaking pay taxes. What do you... Knock it off. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Andrew Bogish is joining us, and we always enjoy when we can get Andrew to weigh in and to vote for the Hall of Fame. I feel like it's been forever, but it is time to vote. Chris, you get to go first because you've heard the audio a couple different times.
Okay, I'm going to have to go with Blake Snell because he has made the biggest Jack A of himself out of
Jack
anyone
A.
I've heard this entire year. Blake Snell, going right in.
Andrew Bogish, good morning to you. Would you like to vote?
I would like to vote, and I'm going to vote for a name that just went out of my head. It's Dana White. I want to be both of the people involved in that back and forth. Like, I want to be as tough as Dana White and just basically say mm-mm to that guy. And I hope that if I was the reporter, I would be funny enough to just go, fair enough. I'll show myself out now.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I want to be that tough, and I also want to be the guy that just goes, okay, glad I asked. See you guys tomorrow.
The funny part is I heard that Dana White multiple times, and it wasn't until earlier in the show that I heard the fair enough part. The reporter's like, oh, I'm waving the white flag. Fair enough.
I get it. You don't like it. Moving on.
Fair enough.
Don't give a
well said, Mr. White.
All right. I mean, this is hard for me because I love Peyton and he's just so off the cuff and so perfect. But I got to go with Blake's. Actually, this is hard because Earl Thomas, the stuff like this happens, bro, too, is just, it needs to be immortalized. But Blake Snell, he did himself no favors, his sport no favors. Now he's paired up with Scott Boras, and he lost me on the Rona. When you're giving a deadly virus a nickname, I just can't take you seriously. I can't after that. So you got a couple of minutes left to vote on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. I retweeted as well, and then on our Facebook page, and we will reveal your choice for the After Hours Hall of Flame before the show is up. For now, we have to relinquish the stage.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Have the off-season blues?
Blake Bortles delivers to his tight end.
Mariota drop, fires downfield. It's caught to the five, to the end zone. Oh, my goodness.
How about the Hail Mary from Winston?
He's to the five. He's in for the touchdown.
What a play by Manning.
Rodgers.
In the end zone. It is caught for the win.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Couple minutes left to cast your votes for the After Hours Hall of Flame. We'll reveal the winner at the top of the hour. So on Twitter, you can find us, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page named after the show. Our number, 855-212-4227. We always like to check in with our QBs. You know, we're so obsessed with our quarterbacks. And so regardless of what time of the year it is or what franchise, we got to keep tabs on. Joe Flacco has a new gig with the New York Jets, and it's a different role for him. Yes, he was a backup last year when Drew Locke took over in Denver, but it was because he ended up getting hurt. Flacco ended up getting hurt, and maybe that made the switch come a little more quickly. But now he is the number two guy with no chance to take over the starting job behind Sam Darnold of the Jets. And so he's got a different role, and yet he felt like New York was the right spot.
That kind of thought process I was back and forth on for a while, but I ultimately think it's important to get on a team and get comfortable with the guys on the team and get comfortable with Sam in this situation, get comfortable with the offense that, you know, I'm going to at some point be running in some capacity.
So he has a gig. Jameis Winston has a gig. Andy Dalton, right? I mean, the guy who doesn't have a gig still is Cam Newton. But Flacco makes a good point. Rather be on a roster than not. Get on a roster more quickly. Get comfortable. Get acclimated. And that includes the personnel that you're with. But what about going into the season as the number two guy?
Well, I'm fully embracing it. I mean, it's where I am right now, and I'm glad to be on a team playing football, you know, in some capacity. And I think it's going to be huge to get in there and know the guys and develop a relationship with the team and do anything I can to help the team get better.
Wasn't that long ago that Flacco's comments about not being in Denver to be a mentor to a young QB were smattered all over social media. Now, he says his comments were taken out of context. If you go back and you listen to him, you make of them what you will. He wanted to play. He wanted to compete. But for the first time in his career, he's starting the season as the backup. So when his last season in Baltimore, he was the number one guy. Lamar Jackson was drafted, and then they made the switch to Lamar with, what, 8 games left in the season? Then in Denver, he was the starter until he got hurt and things were going so terribly for the offense that it was handed over to Drew Locke. But now he knows that he is behind Sam Darnold. So different role for Joe Flacco. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Gardner Minshew knows for sure that he is the starter. So no qualms about that. No competition. Doug Marrone has made him the number one guy and he won't forget it.
Didn't change anything that I do. I'm still going to work the same way, still going to lead the same way. You know, I had conversations with Dave Caldwell. I told him, do what you think is best for this team. I believe that I'm going to give us the best chance to win no matter what. And I just got to prove that every day. And I'm excited for the opportunity to be able to prove that.
The Jaguars 6-10 last season. And of course, quarterback was one of their big surprises. They had signed Nick Foles to the free agent deal. First touchdown pass, first quarter of the season. he gets tackled hard, has the broken collarbone, and really unraveled everything from there. And Gardner Minshew impressed a lot of people when he first took over, but he also went through his growing pains as a rookie. So the Jaguars have now traded Nick Foles to Chicago, and they've come to terms with Mike Glennon earlier this month. But Minshew is the undisputed starter, which means part of his role is to run some of these virtual meetings and virtual workouts. And it's kind of cool to hear him talk about the processes that he's going through with his offense.
On Microsoft Teams, there's a application in it called Whiteboard. And so you're basically on a group call. I'll call out a play. And, like, whoever's in for that play will just draw their assignment. And we just kind of go around and talk about it. All right, what are you thinking here? What do you like against cover two? How are you running this? And I think it's a good way. You know, it's one thing to learn it on paper, but to hear the call and then know what to do right there. I think it's been a good way, you know, kind of making the best of a bad situation.
Now, there are quarterbacks out there who are meeting with their receivers in person to spend some time working out. I don't know if Minshew is doing that, but I know Lamar Jackson was planning to get together with some of his receivers. That was revealed by one of the Ravens. We know that Tom Brady has gotten together and is throwing with some of his receivers. As various regions around the country open up a little more, these guys are starting to get together in different places and throw at least, find that rapport and that rhythm again. Now, it doesn't help them in terms of terminology much, especially if it's a new system and a new quarterback who's calling the plays. And in some cases, new head coaches, new coordinators, but at least they can get out there and throw the football and be together a little bit. I think it helps. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of the AFC South, and Gardner did say in his conference call on Thursday that he'll take it personally and recognizes that the Jaguars are considered kind of the gum on the bottom of the shoe there in the AFC South, that they're not getting a lot of attention. Well, in the NFC South, you can think about the high-profile teams there and the teams that, have improved and upgraded. High-profile quarterbacks, as we're talking about QB news. And so there's a lot of attention in Florida, but it's not on the Jaguars. It's on the Buccaneers. Rondé Barber was a guest on Tiki and Tierney with his twin brother on Thursday, and he was saying, hey, yeah, here with the Buccaneers, we expect Tom Brady to be Tom Brady.
I don't think anything will break Tom off of his process. And when I was with him 2 weeks ago, it was the first time that I had spent any significant amount of time with him. And I was really struck by his demeanor. I mean, he is a really cool cat. He has, no qualms about dropping some cuss words here and there. He's very relaxed, but he's very focused on what he's doing.
I think we have heard that not only with Howard Stern and then that wide ranging interview from was a couple months ago now. I feel like the days all blend together, but also the match and the number of times that he had to be muted. It wasn't the other guys. It was him who had to be muted on live TV. But Rondé Barber on Tiki and Tierney with his brother, just kind of talking about his impressions of his new high profile teammates. A little bit of QB news because we're obsessed and there's always QB news. Thanks for your votes for the After Hours Hall of Flame. We haven't done an induction in a while. It was a lot of fun. We gave you four candidates. You have responded on both Twitter and Facebook, which is cool. So we're ready for the big reveal.
Y'all got to understand, too, because y'all going to be like, bro, Blake, play for the love of the game, man. What's wrong with you, bro? Money should not be a thing. Bro, I'm risking my life. What do you mean it should not be a thing? It 100% should be a thing. If I'm going to play, I should be getting the money I signed to be getting paid. I should not be getting half of what I'm getting paid because the season's cut in half on top of a 33% cut of the half that's already there. So I'm really getting like 25%. On top of that, it's getting taxed. Oh. So imagine how much I'm actually making to play. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my gosh.
Like, I ain't making. And on top of that, so all that money's gone. And now I play risking my life. And if I get the Rona, on top of that, if I get the Rona, guess what happens with that?
Stop.
Oh, yeah, that's in my body forever. That damage is not going to be like the damage that was done to my body, that's going to be there forever.
It's not even scientific.
I got to get my money. I'm not playing unless I get mine. okay? And that's just the way it is for me. Like, I'm sorry if you guys think differently, but the risk is way the hell higher and the amount of money I make is way lower. Why would I think about doing that?
Well, at least we understand where he's coming from now, the Rona and all, that it stays in your body for the rest of your life and you have to pay taxes. I mean, and it's funny because some of you have pointed out that Blake Snell's now immortalized rant in the After Hours Hall of Fame, essentially at its core, he's saying, I'll play and risk my life, quote unquote, for the money that I'm contracted to make, but not less. So you give me my $8.5 million or whatever it is prorated, then I'll go out and quote unquote risk my life and battle against the Rona, but not for a penny less because my life is worth this. It's this kind of money. It's not worth this.
I don't give a
fair enough.
Don't give a
fair enough. I mean, really, what else can you say when Dana White drops a few F-bombs that need to be muted? So we did have a spirited voting, but I would say eventually Blake Snell pulled ahead, probably lapped the field. But among the other three candidates, Earl Thomas, which is so hard for me, stuff like this happens, bro. Earl Thomas, Peyton Manning, whom I love just because he's hysterical and he always delivers, whether it's self-deprecating or otherwise. He actually called himself a jerk when he missed a putt on Sunday.
Do you want me to get sick on the first hole? I'll do it.
I don't. I really don't. And Dana White, who we need to get into the Hall of Fame again, too. Good candidates. Good timing to be able to do an induction. As always, I appreciate your votes and that you hang with us and you have fun with us, whatever we're doing here on the show. We had great interviews this week. If you missed Cliff Averill from earlier, Seattle defensive end, Lions defensive end, incredible insight into the free agency period and decisions. We were kind of talking about Jadeveon Clowney, and he just took us behind the curtain of his own decision in free agency when he left Detroit and joined Seattle and ultimately won a Super Bowl. We talked to him about these 3 months that have passed since he and I were together in Miami for Super Bowl week and how things are so different. And he's got kiddos at home that are young, too. So it's fun to talk to Cliff Averill. So check that out on our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. Former Steelers Super Bowl champ Bryant McFadden, excuse me, earlier in the week. Kurt Busch, thoughtful and candid about NASCAR and its return without fans in the stands and the challenges there. And other analysts, like we talked to Barrett Salee about the unique challenges facing college football and its return. So great guest this week. And that's been one of the things I'm most proud of as we've gone through these last almost 10 weeks now, 10 weeks of working the show remotely from the After Hours super secret home base. And Chris and Dave continue to do their jobs, though, rotating nights in the control room. And it's not optimal. But we're glad that the show is still on the air. We're glad to have so many of you that have been a part of it. So I hope you enjoy the weekend. Find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. We're back with you on Sunday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
If I get the Rona.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.